It's interesting how folks think so differently. My generation, as opposed to Gen Zers, those are individuals born between 1997 and 2012. And recently, our guest, Rachel Sheffield, wrote an article about have rising living standards pushed marriage out of reach. And she joins us now. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Rachel, I really enjoyed your article. Some very interesting statistics about how differently we think about things from like the 1970s to the present day. Talk to us about your findings and what you wrote about in your article.
Yeah, so we've seen marriage decline for decades now. It's been continuing to fall, and that's particularly among younger generations. Right now, if projections hold, one third of Gen Z will remain single by the time they reach age 45, or will never marry at all. And so, kind of to delve into this question of like, what's going on here? Why are we seeing these declining marriage rates? A lot of survey data, if you ask people, one point that often comes up is that people will say it's too expensive to marry. And so, I kind of looked at that and said, okay, well, are we really, has there been a decline in earnings among younger adults, right? And, the reality is no. I mean, sure, we've had certain, periods of economic downturn, but generally speaking, earnings have gone up for some groups. They've stayed, kind of flat or up and down for kind of folks in the middle. But so I thought, well, maybe that what people are really saying when they say that, they don't have enough money to get married is that the expectations for what you're supposed to have, for what your material living conditions are supposed to look like, when you get married, have those shifted? And so that's what I looked at. And, in the 1970s, we can look at that data from there and say, okay, when a young people got married, when they were the kind of, married adults at the median first age of marriage, they definitely had less. The vast majority of them did not own a home. They were typically living in a two-bedroom, one bathroom apartment or home of some sort, but probably an apartment. They were renters. And they had far fewer amenities than adults today. When we look at the average married man today, about 60% are homeowners. Their homes are bigger, around three bedrooms and at least two bathrooms. And they have, far more amenities compared to their peers in the past. And so I think, maybe what we're seeing here is that basically, in the past, people got married when they had a lot less. Marriage was kind of seen as this cornerstone of adult life. You something where you had, you had the beginnings and you built from there. Today it's shifted to more towards a capstone view of marriage where you have to, have this expectation or this pressure or this feeling that somehow you have to have all these things in place that, adults in the past typically didn't have well into marriage or even sometimes maybe never. So anyway, that's kind of the summary of what I was, looking at here in my research.
As you were describing the folks in the 70s, I read through it, and I mean, that was me almost to the T. I mean, I was 21. I didn't have central air conditioning.
Yeah.
I did not have a washer and dryer in my apartment. We had a community washer and dryer that we went to. I think the nicest amenity we had at our apartment complex was a swimming pool, right? We didn't have anything else. We still had a dial phone, and we didn't have. So I was kind of chuckling and laughing as I was reading through this. But I think back, and I thought that a lot of the things that we wanted to get and to have, I always thought was easier if there was somebody else there with you sharing the experience and in your life. And it seems as though that's not the case. As you said, it's the capstone now. They want to have all of those things They want to have a lot of things socked away, maybe some money socked away as well, before they ever make that commitment.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. That this view has shifted, and I mean, there's some problems with that. For one, you know, it makes marriage appear to be out of reach for a large, you know, portion of the population, or and also the reality is that marriage, as you say, does come with a lot of benefits. And you know, if you look at the research, in fact, there's what researchers call like the marriage premium for men, which shows that marriage seems to have a causal impact on men's income. So that when men get married, it looks like, you know, marriage actually boosts, you know, causes a boost in their income. And, you know, you can say, well, okay, well, why is that? You know, is it just that men who are more, you know, financially have more financial promise are more likely to get married? But in fact, the research says, well, no, there's something else. And, you know, it really, you know, you can imagine that if you have kind of that commitment and that kind of that responsibility that you know, need to provide for a family, that you'd be more likely to kind of work hard, move forward. Yeah. And also just having someone by your side, I think, can make life easier. You can share responsibilities of life together. But I don't know if a lot of people get that message of, you know, that marriage comes with these benefits. You know, and it's not just financial. It's connected with, you know, better health and emotional well-being, and you know, for adults. And then of course for children, there's numerous benefits that children raised in married parent households do better on, you know, a variety of outcomes as well. So I think that message needs to get out there so that people kind of have that confidence and that perspective on the importance of marriage.
Earlier in my monologue, I talked about a couple of issues and challenges that we have here in the city of New Orleans and its population decline. One of the byproducts of what you point out in your article is that we're struggling here in the United States. And it's not only here, it's actually around the world. They're struggling because of this mindset as it relates to population growth. And without population growth, we're kind of stuck on stuck, right? And the impact on our economy is huge.
Yeah, right. And that's another, right, exactly. You bring up another important point about the declining marriage rates, is that as marriage declines, then also the birth rate goes down with it. You know, birth rates in the U.S. have been declining, you know, every year, basically for the last decade and a half. We've just kind of seen this continual fall in birth rates. And that is very much tied to marriage rates, because married couples on average have more children than, you know, unmarried. Of course, you know, it's good that, you know, children are born within marriage. That is, you know, that's for the best. But yeah, so then as we see marriage drop, we see declining birth rates. And that comes with a lot of repercussions economically, but, you know, even just, you know, when to have that, you know, you think about elderly adults having, you know, children there to take care of them, adult children to take care of them in their older years. That's a big piece of the puzzle. And I think just the way that even people orient their lives when you have children versus when you don't, you know, you tend to kind of connect more with your community as you point out, yes, this declining birth rates is an important piece of that.
With access to today's technology, I mean, I've seen this with my children. You know, they're 30 and 29, and their friends, and, you know, having just kind of casually observed the manner in which they communicate. These interpersonal relationships, I mean, when I was coming up, it was everything, right? Today, I mean, you're sitting at the same table and they're texting across the table. It's like everybody is communicating in code, almost, that they don't want others to participate in a conversation with you. It's kind of a strange dynamic. And I wonder how much that, and your thoughts on how much you think that influences what you're pointing out here.
Yeah, no, I think that there is definitely the technology and smartphones and, a piece of the puzzle. I mean, I think that, well, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to dating, dating rates have gone down. I would have to, assume that, yes, as people are spending more time on their phones and rather than interacting in real life, that kind of erodes the, just kind of erodes those skills and kind of that just, knowledge of how do you even, approach someone and take those risks to ask someone on a date. I think it's a significant.
And I don't know about you, but when I hear about people talking about an AI partner.
Yeah. There's some wild things happening in our world.
I can't wrap my head around that at all. what are we talking about?
Yeah. You feel like you're in a very strange, brave new world.
I feel like I'm in an alternate universe.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And, it shows that, human beings, there is this desire to connect, and yet we are struggling to even, with these, to build these human, relationships, kind of those on ramps to marriage have eroded, dating and even just having that ability to meet people and interact in ways that are necessary to get you from point A to point B. So, lots of challenges.
Sometimes I wonder as well, the country is pretty divided right now. I mean, I was reading this most recent YouGov poll about where, Republicans, Democrats fall on how they feel about, where we are in the country.
Yeah.
And, 50-something% of Democrats said they'd rather live abroad somewhere. And most of those people have never even experienced living abroad. They have no clue about the fundamental differences, but yet that's what they desire. I wonder if this translates, though, into a fear of bringing children into the world today with this uncertainty and unknown and kind of angst and anxiety about where we are in society today.
I think you're right. I think when we look at marriage and how it's shifted, this delay in marriage, this putting it off until you have so much established and have your education and your career established and maybe you own a home, because I think young people have seen, in our society, a lot of breakdown of the family, high divorce rates, people not, maybe they've come from families where their parents were never married at all. And so there's, marriage has been, there's this kind of perspective that, okay, I need to protect myself just in case. I can't really rely on marriage the same way that I could. And so, even if you are, going to get married, it's become, you're doing these things to kind of protect yourself from that. And then that leads to delayed marriage or marriage never happening at all. So I think the fear aspect is definitely real.
Well, I can honestly say in my case, I am much better, as an individual because of my wife and because of the life that we have shared together. There's no doubt about it. I couldn't even imagine what it would be like not having that, right? Seems to run counter to the way a lot of folks are thinking today as well.
Yeah.
And, in my monologue, I asked the question, when did we and how did we lose our way? And it seems as though this is kind of another way that we've lost our way here. It's interesting as to how this is progressing in today's world.
Yeah.
Loved your article. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time, your insight. Rachel Sheffield with the Heritage Foundation. Have a great 4th of July weekend.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.